It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. When you look at a bottle of mustard, you might think, hot dog. But there's no reason to wait for the summer grilling season to spice things up a bit.
America's favorite condiment can actually do a lot more than you'd expect. You can think salad dressings, glazes, stews, marinades, and apparently you can even use it to soothe aching muscles.
But the mustards we'll be sampling today you want to save for your mouth, because we're offering a beautiful set of three delicious mustards to every listener who pledges $120 or more in our winter pledge drive this hour. Ask for your set of mustards with a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And with us now in the studio to take us on this culinary journey is Barry Levinson, founder and curator of the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. Barry, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So as a curator of the National Mustard Museum, you oversee a collection of 5,000 varieties of mustards.
More than 5,600
of
today.
So if we were rounding up, we'd say 6,000.
That's right.
So to help us wrap our heads around the sheer magnitude of mustards, how are they categorized? Do you know them all?
I do know them all. In fact, it's an interesting question, how are they categorized? Because we are approaching the entry deadline for the 19th annual Worldwide Mustard Competition. And people who are foodies and mustard lovers are encouraged to contact the Mustard Museum if you'd like to be a judge. Entries are coming in from all over the world. And we've got some incredible mustards. A chocolate chili mustard arrived today. And then there was a fig, plum, and port mustard that also arrived. We have mustards coming in from all over the world. So that is all part of the world of mustard that you can experience at the National Mustard Museum.
They're coming from all over the world. Are there mustard hotspots? Like, you know, there are wine regions and beer and cheese regions. Who are the mustard powerhouses?
Well, probably the number one mustard powerhouse would be the Burgundy area of France, known for Dijon mustards, called Dijon because the city of Dijon is where they began more than 400 years ago.
I thought you were going to say Germany for some reason.
Also, great mustards from Germany. The German word for mustard is Senf, S-E-N-F. I don't know why. It makes no Senf to me. But we'll have, I'm sure there'll be some German mustards to be tasted. Great English mustards as well. Usually mustards from Japan come in. Mustards from all over the world entered this prestigious competition. That's part of what we do at the National Mustard Museum.
Well, Barry, let's get a little bit of your backstory. You're sitting beside us, and we have a picture of you on our Facebook page. But you're sitting beside us dressed in a mustard yellow top, and men don't call them tops. They call them shirts.
Shirts, usually. Yes.
In my company, we call it a shirt. Yes, thank you.
At least I didn't say blouse. With a hot dog with mustard tie as well. So how do you become that guy who's that interested in mustard, who runs the National Mustard Museum? How did you become Barry Levinson, the mustard guy?
Well, it started in 1986, the morning after my beloved Red Sox lost the World Series. I was so depressed. I didn't know what to do with myself. I went to an all-night grocery, walked up and down the aisles, tears running down my cheeks. And suddenly I was in front of the mustards when I heard the voice that said, "If you collect us, they will come." And that changed my life. I was an assistant attorney general at the time here in the state of Wisconsin. About 6 months later, I argued a case at the U.S. Supreme Court with a jar of mustard in my pocket, won the case.
Wow.
So I knew that mustard one day would be my life. So we opened the museum to the public in 1992. So it will be our anniversary next month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I want to get to some mustard tasting, I think, and to remind people, we've got a three-pack of delicious mustards coming to you when you ask for it with your pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support great public radio and get some great condiments. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. What do you got for us, Barry?
Well, the mustards that people will be getting are our own, very own mustards called Slim and None Mustard Museum mustards. They're three different flavors. We have a sweet and nicely hot mustard. We have a maple peppercorn mustard, which is great for cream sauces. And we have a habanero horseradish, great for bratwurst. So we'll be tasting some of those. And we're also going to taste something a little different because it is a horseradish. Not a mustard, but it has mustard oil in it. And this is probably the strongest horseradish you'll ever want. We sent a case of this to Mark Sokolich. Do you remember Mark Sokolich? the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, because this will clear up any congestion at all. And I got a wonderful thank you email from Mark saying, oh, you got to come. We'll have coffee together. They loved it. So
it does say sinus searing right on the label.
Sinus searing, exactly.
So Veronica can start with that.
Yeah, and then when Veronica's on the floor, then, Rob, you and I will take
then
over.
Then we'll take over, yeah.
Exactly.
Where do you want to start? I want to
well,
eat some mustard.
Well, let's start with the sweet hot mustard. This is probably our number one selling mustard because people love sweet, tangy mustards. And even though it's sweet, there's not that much sugar in it. You want it on a spoon or on a pretzel?
Well, pretzel, naturally.
All right, we brought pretzels.
Thank you.
Here you go. Try that one. I should also mention that the Mustard Museum is the home of America's Mustard College, which everyone knows is called Poop on You. And I'm going to get these guys singing the Poop on You fight song in the second half of the show.
Mm. Oh, that's yummy.
So tell us the name of that again.
This is called Slim and None Mustard Museum Sweet and Nicely Hot Mustard.
And it is nicely hot.
Right. It's got a tang because, after all, it's mustard. We're not talking mayonnaise. And by the way, parents out there, you've got to remember that ketchup is now the leading cause of childhood stupidity in America. So don't let your kids eat that red stuff. Go to mustard. Very little sugar in mustard. And I was listening to your last guest, and there's very little added sugar in mustard. This one has a little bit. The others have none.
Huh.
Dijon mustard, for example, the classic Dijon mustard, no sugar at all. So it's a very healthy condiment. Be condimentally correct. Eat your mustard.
Well, we just tried that on the vehicle of a pretzel, but I bet there's a bunch of other things that would be lovely with that one.
Yeah, as well, let's try the habanero horseradish, which is just spicy. It's not super hot. It's grainy. It's got a lot of different flavors going on. This is what I recommend for a classic Wisconsin bratwurst.
I'm about to taste it before I taste it and maybe rendered temporarily.
This one is I would call medium hot.
So as
spicy.
We taste it, tell us what some good uses for this one.
We also have a recipe sheet. I'm going to give you this on a spoon, Veronica, to try. We have recipes that go with each of them. And this one, I've developed a mustard crepe. A mustard crepe. That's fabulous.
Wow.
Absolutely fabulous. You can wrap almost anything in it.
Ooh, that one is a little spicy.
It is a little
spicy.
Yeah, so we're gonna get ready to knock you out, Veronica.
Let's think more here. A savory crepe with this spicy mustard. But you're right, it's not a killer mustard.
No,
I'm
not
in pain here.
But
what else would I put on that crepe with this mustard?
You could fill that with seafood. You could fill it with just about with cheese. A lot of different things.
That does sound good, too.
A lot of different things. And remember, with your pledge of $10 a month, $120 or more, you get a gift box of these three mustards with recipes. So, mustard lovers, show your support for public radio.
And you can do that at WPR.org, WPR.org to make a web pledge, or call 888-202-2552. With your pledge of $10 a month or more, ask for that three-pack of mustards complete with recipes from Barry Levinson, director of the Mustard Museum here in Wisconsin. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Barry, what is the most unusual mustard that you've encountered in your tenure at the Mustard Museum?
Well, chocolate mustard is certainly one of the most unusual, and as well as black truffle mustard, which is sensational.
That sounds great.
Oh, my gosh. Cognac mustard is unusual and elegant. There are a lot of great mustards. It's not just yellow mustard and brown mustard and Dijon mustards. At the Worldwide Mustard Competition, there are, I believe, 16 different taste categories. So it's not just your usual mustard.
It sounds like you're saying there's pretty much nothing that can't become a good mustard.
Just about every flavor you can imagine has been tried with mustard. Some very successful, some maybe not so successful, but they're all worth a try.
Barry, I'm going to make a confession. I eat a lot of your plain garden variety grocery store yellow mustard.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not looked down on in the mustard world.
At all.
Good.
No, it's good for you, too. Yeah, turmeric, which is what gives the bright yellow color, is a great antioxidant and considered very healthy for you. So whatever kind of mustard, eat it.
So did mustard come from France? Is that where the very first mustard was born?
Well, the ancient Romans were using mustards in some of their sauces. But really, the French monks in and around the town of Dijon were the first to really make mustard as we know it back in the 1400s. So, you know, and it wasn't that different. It was a little grainier than it is now because they didn't know how to smooth it out as we do now. But it was always very pungent.
Dumb question. Over 6,000 varieties of mustard, you said, or something in the neighborhood of 6,000.
5,600.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They all have to have mustard seed in them to be considered a mustard. Is that right?
That's correct, at least according to my standards. There is no federal standard for what a mustard is, so I guess I've become the arbiter of what constitutes a mustard. So I take that very seriously, but that's true. And mustard grows all over, but mostly the mustard that we eat today comes from mustard seed grown in Canada, up in the prairie provinces. Huh. Saskatchewan is probably the world's leading grower of mustard seed.
The mustard belt.
It is. It is the mustard belt of the world.
Well, we just want to remind people that this is our winter membership drive, and right now we are giving a thank you gift of 3 mustards for any listener, every listener, who pledges $120 or more in our winter pledge drive at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And Barry Levinson has provided recipes that go with the mustards he has selected, hand-selected, for this thank you gift. So make your pledge. Support Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember, we count on you. You are the single biggest piece of our budget. Make that pledge, $10 a month or more, and ask for your mustard thank you gift with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, he just went for the sinus-searing one. Oh, and he's passing it to me.
I'm giving it to you. So let's see how she does.
I'll try it too.
Okay.
I'm no chicken.
Okay. We'll give you guys a taste.
Okay. Oh, I don't do this one on pretzel?
It's a little easier this way.
Yeah, that is intense.
That is definitely. It's called Hit and Run and available at the Mustard Museum, of course. Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Holy cow.
I think Rob ate the whole spoon.
We're not giving that one to the public, are we?
I
want to consult the Geneva Convention here, people. Wow. Whoa, I can't feel my sinuses
anymore.
Why
did you put the whole thing in your mouth?
Well, that was my first mistake. Every time you get me, Barry, with one of these.
Yeah, you didn't learn your lesson last time, did you?
I didn't, no.
It's a good one.
We are talking to Barry Levinson. He's director of the National Mustard Museum here in Wisconsin, taking your pledges at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A thank you gift with your pledge of $10 a month or more. More mustard talk coming up. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We are talking mustard with Barry Levinson, founder and curator of the National Mustard Museum.
Barry's brought along a gift set of 3 delicious mustards, which you can get for your pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's our thank you gift to you for your pledge of $120 at WPR.org.
And these are not tiny little sample sizes. What is that, 7.75 ounces?
Yeah, big jars.
They're the regular regulation-sized jars. These are big jars, so you're going to get a lot of use out of these mustards.
And I think I'm holding the one we haven't tasted yet, maple peppercorn mustard.
Yeah, let's open that one up. And this is one that I love to use with reduced heavy cream to make a mustard peppercorn cream sauce.
Ooh, so, what would we serve that on?
You serve that over chicken, over steaks. Make sure you've got plenty of French bread. Here, let's put that on there because you're going to mop it up. And it's the easiest thing in the world. And we have a recipe for that that goes along with it.
Barry, I've liked them all so far. This is by far my favorite one of the bunch, though, that you brought. I really like that one, just
really,
on a pretzel.
Yeah. Also very good on burgers. Oh, by the way, I have to do one thing now.
Yeah.
I have to wish my son, Matthew, a happy 27th birthday. Today is February 27th. It's his golden birthday. Matt, aww, if you're listening, happy birthday.
All right. Congratulations, Matt. I thought you were going to make us sing now.
Well, we're going to do that because
it's
time for the Poop on You marching band that have all assembled here to sing the Poop on You fight song.
Including Cynthia Schuster, our board operator today.
That's right. Yeah. She'll sing as well.
Yeah, she's got a
so
microphone.
Are you ready?
You'll lead the way, right, Barry?
Okay. On our hot dogs, on our bratwurst, mustard is so cool. Never mayo, never ketchup, they're against the rules. Gleaming gold and mellow yellow, smooth, rough, sweet, and hot. Fight, poop on you, we'll fight and eat some lunch.
Or dinner.
All right. Excellent. Well done, the Poop on You marching band.
Rob doing some strange harmonies.
I'm not a real singer per se.
You know, I brought another mustard along just because we've got a holiday coming up. We actually have several holidays.
Yeah.
You know, Monday is Casimir Pulaski Day. Mm-hmm. There's actually a Pulaski brand mustard that we've got at the Mustard Museum. It's a Polish style mustard. But we also have St. Patrick's Day, and I brought along a taste of whole grain mustard with Guinness. And you're going to find something very different about this one because you've got whole mustard seeds.
It looks beautiful, that one, the texture of
the
it
texture
is really interesting.
The texture is gorgeous.
You can see the mustard seed.
And here,
this
give
is,
a taste. And it's flavored with Guinness Stout. And it is, of course, from Ireland. And we've developed a recipe for deconstructed corned beef and cabbage using this, another mustard. You shred the corned beef, shred the cabbage. You make a salad out of it. It's fabulous.
Very different texture on that one.
Yeah. It's like caviar. It's like caviar with the whole seeds. They pop.
Barry, are there mustard trends over the years? Do you see people favoring one mustard over another, going back and forth?
Yeah, there are. In fact, now one of the most popular mustards are hot pepper mustards. 15 years ago, in the early days of the Worldwide Mustard Competition, there were very few. Now, name the pepper, and it's probably been put into a mustard, including sriracha pepper. We just got a sriracha pepper mustard entered in the Worldwide Mustard Competition. So very exciting. Sweet hot mustards, also very popular. Yellow mustards are making a comeback as well.
Reminder that this is our winter membership drive. You can make your pledge in support of Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Very special thank you gift as we're talking mustard with Barry Levinson, director of the Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin. Three delicious, we've tried them all now, three delicious mustards and recipes to go with them from Barry. Yours for a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Barry, remind us again the three flavors that people will get here.
They're going to get sweet and nicely hot, habanero horseradish and maple peppercorn along with the recipe to enhance your cuisine at home.
And I know it's hard to believe, but we are, I think, just around the corner from grilling season again. So this is, I think any of these would work on something
that
you grill.
Every single one of them goes with grilling, but they're also good, 365 days a year.
What is the most unusual way that you've eaten mustard?
Probably stirred into a martini.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What kind
How
of mustard?
That?
It was a brown mustard. It was on a dare. David Letterman. I was a guest, kind of a guest with David Letterman. He had me first drink that, and then he wanted to taste the hottest mustard, so he tasted the hit and run. It blew him away because he had a giant spoonful, about four times what you had, Rob. And when he recovered about 10 minutes later, his staff was in a panic. I remember one of them saying, quick, call 911. And the other staff member said, what's the number? Anyway, they cut that segment from the show because he was so angry. I guess you could say Dave couldn't cut the mustard. But absolutely true. Very true. That was probably the most unusual combination. That, and I've had dill mustard with circus peanuts.
That doesn't sound good to me.
I know it doesn't.
Was it good?
Wait, are the peanuts inside the mustard?
No. You know the circus. You know the
you
peanuts.
Top them. The,
you know what I'm talking about? Those orange. Those
circus the candy. Peanuts,
those candies.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that are just no good for you. Have no redeeming social value. it's something that you should taste once, but not more than once.
Interesting.
It was weird.
Looking for 10 more pledges this hour. Already off to a great start. Make your pledge in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And if you pledge $10 a month or more, ask for a very special thank you gift this hour only. Barry has put together a pack of three different mustards, substantial size. He's got recipes to go with them. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And again, those flavors, sweet and nicely hot, habanero horseradish, and Rob's favorite, maple peppercorn.
Delicious, wonderful mustard. I need to obtain some for myself sometime. And
well, I'm leaving these here so you can fight over them.
Oh, boy.
We'll make sandwiches here at work. Yeah.
Very good. Right. So mustard lovers, call in, because everyone knows that mustard lovers, being condimentally correct, also appreciate good quality radio. So I know that the mustard lovers out there in Wisconsin and beyond, because this was in our newsletter that went out all over the country this week. So I know that you're listening. So call in. This is a great chance to support public radio here in Wisconsin.
The number is 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Barry, do you have, of all of these musters, a favorite that you turn to time and again when you just want your favorite?
Your comfort mustard.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
I knew you were going to ask that. That is such a hard question. I'll tell you, the Slim and None is something I will eat with a spoon. I often put that over ice cream as well. But classic Dijon mustard is something that I use all the time because you can use it on sandwiches. You can use it in dressings to make a Dijon vinaigrette, in glazes, in sauces. So many different ways of using mustard. And that's the beauty of mustard. It's so versatile.
With all these different varieties, I can imagine if you're making a basic vinaigrette with some olive oil and some an acid of some kind, a vinegar, mm-hmm. and then you just add a different variety of mustard, it could change the whole character of your vinaigrette.
It does, and it also keeps it together because mustard is what's called an emulsifier. So it takes the olive oil, it takes the vinegar, and it makes them come together as one. So it's a very useful thing to have. Chefs, of course, use mustard all the time, and you can elevate your home kitchen five stars just by using lots of mustard.
So we've talked crepes, salads,
ice cream,
grilling. Yeah. Any other dessert mustards? You mentioned that chocolate mustard. Anything that we can use after the meal in a great dessert?
Well, there are a lot of fruit mustards that go very well.
Oh.
Cranberry mustards, orange mustards, strawberry mustards, raspberry mustards. Some of those can also be used on toast in the morning. And you're also cutting down on the sugar. So for those looking for a very heart healthy, just a healthy diet, think mustard.
And don't forget, we will send you a thank you gift from the National Mustard Museum, a trio, the Slim and None Trio. It's called Of Three Mustards for your pledge of $120. It's our thank you gift to you. That's $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Barry, can you stick with us a few minutes after the
Be
news coming
to.
Up here? Yeah,
sure.
Make up for that time that Letterman didn't put you on, that wimp. Talking to Barry Levinson. He's the director of the Mustard Museum right here in Wisconsin, in Middleton, Wisconsin. And we're having our winter membership drive now, too, looking for your support for great public radio. And as a condiment for your pledge, when you pledge $10 a month or more, get that three-pack of delicious mustards personally selected by Barry, along with some recipes to go with them. $10 a month or more with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I have to say, our conceptions of mustard are pretty much getting blown up here with 5,600 varieties and the different applications that mustard can have. You know, we hear about ketchup a lot in America, but I think mustard, you know, mustard has got to be right up there.
Yeah, practice safe snacks. Use a condiment, right?
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Don't forget, for $120, we'll send you a thank you gift of three hand-selected mustards from the National Mustard Museum.
Looking for at least eight more pledges. We've got a half hour to do it. I think we can blow way past this goal. Make your pledge now of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, one thing we are curious about, talking a bit over the break there, is home brewing, home making mustard. You make it at home?
You can make mustard at home. It's very easy. There are essentially two kinds of seed. There's the brown seed and the yellow seed. You can either use whole seeds, you can use crack seed, or you can use mustard flour. You can find recipes online. Important tip, if you are making mustards at home, cold liquid ingredients will produce a sharper and less bitter mustard.
Hmm.
So that's just a little tip that I've learned from mustard makers all over the world and from my experiments making mustards as well.
Is there an inherent difference between the brown and the yellow mustard seeds when it comes to things like flavor and texture?
Big difference. The biggest difference, I think, is that there's more nose pungency in the brown seed. In fact, in Dijon, France, Dijon mustard can only be made with the brown mustard seed. You cannot, by law, make mustard with yellow seed in France. They just don't do it.
That's interesting. So there's some, you know, the way they did with Parmesan cheese, there's a sort of prescriptive way that it's done, and this is the way Dijon should be made.
Exactly.
And remember, you can get your three-pack of mustards with a pledge of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We have been fortunate enough to taste some. Thank you, Barry, for bringing those in. I'm going to have a little more of the sweet and nicely hot mustard on this bit of pretzel here. They're great. These are really good mustards, interesting recipes to go with them. Worth supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and picking up some mustard along the way at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, if you're someone like Rob who has been stuck on the just plain old garden variety yellow mustard, this is something to wake you up to the world of mustards. Now, you can't sample, probably unless you're Barry, all 5,600 mustards, but you can sample these three. And we are here to help you do just that. With your pledge of $120 or more, we will send you these three jars of mustard as a thank you gift, sweet and nicely hot, that Rob is eating right now, habanero horseradish, and maple peppercorn. It's our thank you gift to you for your pledge of $120. You can explore the world of mustard. This is just really dipping your toes in the water, as we're hearing, but it's a great start.
Right. And if you're in the area and want to be a judge at the Worldwide Mustard Competition, contact us at the Mustard Museum, mustardmuseum.com. You'll get all the information. So if you're a foodie, a real mustard lover, please do. And when you come visit the Mustard Museum, that's open every day, tell us that you donated to Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll give you a great big hug.
And Barry, we mentioned ketchup earlier. People think of that as the great American condiment. Salsa has been making a move lately. Is there a growing interest in mustard in all its various incarnations?
Actually, there has been. A lot of restaurants are providing their guests with interesting mustards. If you go to France, you'll often see mustard served on the table. In fact, one thing you can make at home, something that the French often do, is called mustard butter. Just take butter, soften it, and blend in some mustard. And that gives it a wonderful flavor. Put it back in the fridge so it gets hard again when it's cold. And it's a great thing to spread on bread. You'll find that in a lot of cafes in France. And it's something that's so easy to do at home.
I just thought of a way to integrate this with the great Wisconsin Supper Club tradition. Your relish tray could have three or four mustards on it, maybe breadsticks and pretzels and veggies to taste it with, very different mustards. Do people do that? They should.
Well, there are a few that have. In fact, there was a restaurant here in Madison, it's no longer here, for which we created a mustard list, very much like a wine list. Uh-huh. So you could order by bin number a certain mustard to go with your food.
Now, I am someone who didn't like mustard right out of the gate. I know he's giving me a disapproving look.
Condimentally challenged. You're right.
I was. And I was more of a ketchup kid. But I love it now. But is there a mustard that you suggest to someone who thinks that they don't like mustard?
Well, I think the sweet and nicely hot is exactly the one. We've had so many people come to the Mustard Museum saying, I don't think I like it. They taste that. And then they go on to perhaps more adventurous mustards, maybe less sweet mustards. And that's just a little bit sweet. But you get that tang. And it's that tang that really turns you on, and you realize that you're eating well.
And you can get your very own jar of that mustard and two other delicious mustards right now. Pledge $10 a month or more, $120 at WPR.org. It's a quick, just takes a few minutes, or call 888-202-2552. Ask for your three-pack of mustard complete with recipes from Barry Levinson of the National Mustard Museum.
And I can imagine glazing meat would be something that would be pretty simple to do. Can you just sort of take a pastry brush and baste it
on? Yeah, glazing chicken especially. A lot of fruit mustards are used for that. And also with fish. Dill mustard, very popular with fish. So we've got a lot of recipes for that as well online. And when you visit the Mustard Museum, we've got a whole bunch of recipes to give you.
Barry, do you have a mustard message you can leave us with? A mustard pep talk or something?
You mean beyond just poop on you?
Right. Yes. Yes, please.
Well, I guess it would be the cheer. Who needs Harvard? Who needs Yale? At poop on you, you'll never fail. Stanford, Princeton, big mistake. Poop on you's a piece of cake.
All right. It's an excellent note to leave it on. We've been talking with Barry Levinson, founder and curator of the National Mustard Museum in Middleton, Wisconsin.
And Barry, thanks a lot for the mustard knowledge and for the encouragement for people to pledge.
Thanks very much, and hasta la mustard.
Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you pledge $10 a month or more, ask for your three-pack of mustards as a special thank you gift. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, the Obama administration released its proposal for overhauling nutrition labels. It's the biggest change in over two decades, with proposed changes to things like serving sizes, font size on the label, and sugar labeling.
The First Lady played a big role in getting the proposed changes through the Food and Drug Administration. She discussed the changes at her Let's Move campaign anniversary event this morning. Here's a clip.
The truth is that too often it's nearly impossible to get the most basic facts about the food we buy for our families. The new label will allow you to immediately spot the calorie count because it will be in large font and not buried in the fine print. You'll also learn more about where the sugar in the food comes from, like whether the sugar in your yogurt was added during processing or whether it comes from ingredients like fruits. This is what you will get from the label of the future. A lot has changed in the past 20 years. And just consider all the new information we've learned about nutrition and healthy eating during that time period.
And there a clip from First Lady Michelle Obama talking about some of the changes to the nutritional labels. And here to talk about these new changes, we're joined by political agriculture reporter Helena Bottomiller-Evich. Helena, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So this is the first major nutrition label overhaul in 2 years. How significant are these proposed changes announced today?
It's a big deal. It has been over two decades since we actually first had nutrition facts mandated on all of our food packages, and this is really the first big major update we've ever had. So the First Lady and her team at FDA are really making a mark on the American food system because these labels are probably going to be with us for many decades to come. These updates take a really long time to do. Some of the most important elements, as you mentioned, are the serving sizes are going to get bigger and actually reflect more along the lines of what people are actually eating. And the calories, I don't know if you have a visual in front of you, but the calorie numbers are going to be much, much bigger. Some people are actually calling the numbers huge. When you look at these new nutrition facts, the number of calories really jumps off the page. It's in bold, big numbers. And that's a big change. Usually the calories are in, you know, small numbers. So the hope is that there will be more awareness and consumers will have an easier time reading the labels.
Do you have a sense about what went into the crafting of the changes in these new labels?
Yeah, it has been in the works for more than a decade at FDA. They have been studying, you know, how consumers read the current labels. They've been taking comments from industry on various issues. One of the most contentious changes they're proposing is requiring that companies list added sugars in the nutrition facts panel. So in the nutrition facts, we already have a sugars line, and it will give you how many grams, but that is for total sugars. And so that will include the sugars that will be naturally occurring in a food from, you know, fruit, or if you have a tomato sauce, there'll be natural sugars from the tomatoes. And what they're asking companies to do is section off and list exactly how much sugar they added during processing. And this is a really thorny issue. The food industry does not want to label that. They argue that it's hard to measure and tell the difference between natural and added sugar. And then also sugar is sugar, and really your body can't tell the difference. So you're going to hear more debate about added sugars in the coming days because of this. And FDA has been considering that for a very long time, so it's fair to assume they are going to defend their decisions here because they have done so much research and looked at data for really, really many years.
So from what I've seen so far, the response has been polite. There was one food industry person quoted as saying, nobody wants to attack the First Lady on this, but you're saying that backlash may come down the pike. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about the added sugar label that you were just talking about. Is that going to be seen as somehow pulling back the curtain and maybe revealing more about how food is made than the industry would like?
Well, I think there's two things to consider when you talk about the added sugar, adding that to the label. First, there's already a subset of consumers who are paying attention to nutrition and ingredients, and they're already reading these labels like crazy, and they're certainly going to notice the added sugars and probably, you know, make decisions based on them. But a lot of people aren't paying attention to the sugar issue just narrowly. I think The other element we could see is if they have to label added sugars, more companies will decide to reformulate to lower the amount of sugar they add, just so that it doesn't become a possible sticking point. Because food companies want their products to look good on those labels. And the example, the kind of the parallel example here is back in 2006, FDA required food companies to label trans fats. They didn't used to have to label them. And then 5 years later, the food industry had dropped about 80% of their trans fat usage because they knew consumers were looking at that on the label and, you know, maybe making decisions about it. So they reformulated and made their recipes all different, and they were able to get 80% of it out of their products without consumers really noticing. The FDA commissioner actually brought this up at the White House and compared it to sugar and said, we're going to add sugar to the label. And she said, we hope it motivates the food industry to reformulate some of their products.
Now, Michelle Obama has been criticized for not taking risks in her Let's Move campaign. She has done things like promoting water, but not actually speaking out against soda and partnering with Subway as well. So do those actions and that criticism, does that represent a risk to this new labeling?
It's very interesting that you bring up this point, because some health advocates have been, you know, cheering her on in her effort to combat childhood obesity, but also have really expressed frustration about whether or not the First Lady could be going bolder or, you know, taking on the food industry in a more, in a more forceful way. They've kind of always wanted her to use her bully pulpit a little bit more for stronger changes. But I think today, and really this week with the series of announcements that were rolled out by the East Wing, a lot of those advocates are just kind of going, wow, they're really amazed and surprised with the policies that have been rolled out and that they're bold. A lot of people were skeptical. They didn't think added sugars would be in the proposal, and they're pretty excited. And I think a lot of people are seeing the announcements that have been rolled out this week, which also limit junk food marketing in schools, as kind of a sign that the First Lady is willing to take on a serious policy fight and really get her hands involved in more of the kind of substantive policy-making side of it, as well as the partnerships and the, you know, and the marketing agreements that you mentioned earlier with companies like Subway and Walmart. And, you know, she's really been trying to encourage the private sector, but this is very much different. This is like hard policy.
Well, Helena, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Helena Bademiller-Evich, an agriculture reporter for Politico. We've been talking about the proposed changes to nutrition labels that were announced this morning.